afternoon, Nayer drove to Kilo 7. The sun beat down on the narrow dirt road, reflecting off the buildings and creating the sort of light that made it possible to see through shut eyes. He found the house he was looking for. The knocks echoed on the other side, a courtyard, perhaps. A few minutes later, the door swung open. A young man stood there. He looked to be in his 20s. A weak old growth shadowed his jaw and gave him a dishevelled look. He wore a rumpled white Oxford shirt and loose linen trousers. Because of the sun's glare, Nayer found it difficult to read his expression.
"I'm looking for Mohammed Ramathani," Nayer said.
"Who are you?"
The voice squeaked with youth.
"My name is Nayer Asharki. Are you Mohammed?"
The man didn't move.
"What do you want?"
"I want to talk to you about Nuf Ashrawi. I'm told you were her escort."
The man's face rippled with unease.
"Did the family send you?"
"No."
"Are you police?"
"No, I'm an investigator."
Mohammed blinked nervously, and after long, stern scrutiny, he stepped aside, motioning Nayer indoors. Nayer caught a curious, comforting smell.
Manure.
"Do you keep animals?" he asked. Mohammed looked confused.
"No."
He ushered him down a narrow hallway and into a sitting room. A pile of threadbare pillows were stacked in a corner, and three bamboo mats were spread on the floor. Mohammed offered his guest the cleanest of the mats and called someone to bring a pot of tea. The two men sat together, legs crossed. They waited in silence. The shutters were closed, but the heat seeped in. In a nearby room, a baby began to cry. A rap on the door, and Mohammed stood and went into the hall. Nayer heard a woman's voice.
"We're out of dates," she whispered. "All I have is stew. I'm so embarrassed. Shall I serve it?"
"No.
Tea is fine, Habibti. Thank you."
Mohammed backed into the room holding a tea service. He shut the door with his foot.
"My wife,"
he explained with a nervous smile. He poured two thimble cups, passing one to Nayer.
"My condolences for Nuf," Nayer said.
"Thank you.
I know what it's like to suffer a loss."
"I'm devastated."
Mohammed ran a hand through his hair.
"Are you close to the family?"
"Only in an official capacity," Nayer replied.
"I'm their desert guide.
The family hired me to find Nuf when she ran away."
Mohammed nodded thoughtfully.
"I have to admit, I didn't think there was anything strange about her death. It was tragic, but nothing made me think of murder."
"Murder?"
Oh, isn't that why you're here?"
Nayer eyed his host.
"Do you think she was murdered?"
Mohammed opened his hands.
"Look, I've already told Othman everything I know. We've gone over it a dozen times."
"I want to hear your side of the story."
Nayer set his teacup on the floor. "I wonder why a woman like Nuf would run away. It doesn't seem likely, does it? She had everything. Money, a good family, a fiancé. Maybe you can help me make sense of it. You knew her."
Mohammed pressed his fingers against his eyes. When he lowered his hand, his face was dark red and puffy.
"Please forgive me. I was supposed to protect her. It's obvious that Nuf ran away because she was sick of her life. You may not want to believe me, but let me tell you, she wasn't the only one who wanted to escape. Most of the Shrawi girls feel that way. They hate it on the island. They're always out shopping or riding their jet skis. I never thought she would actually do it. Not like that."
Nayer could see tears welling in Mohammed's eyes.
"There's something else I don't understand," Nayer went on. "If it's true she drove away from the estate, how did she learn how to drive?"
Mohammed stared at the floor.
"I taught her. It was something we did for fun. The other girls do it too, even Zainab. And she's only 6.
"But how did she get the camel into the truck? That's a pretty big job."
Mohammed looked as if he would cry. "And how did she get out to the desert?"
Mohammed rocked back and forth, hands clutched in a knot on his lap.
I don't know.
And her condition.
Allah, I would never touch her.
Someone did. As far as I can tell, you were the only man she saw regularly. Mohammed's shoulders began to shake.
No, no, listen. There was this guy. Eric. Eric Scarsbury. I used to take her to see him. She wanted to go to America and he was going to help her.
Naya sat up. America? How?
She gave him ₹1 million. He was going to set her up in New York with an apartment, a green card, I don't know what else. It was what she always wanted. She wanted to leave.
Naya stared at his host. How was she going to leave?
On her honeymoon. She was going to New York with Kathy.
Her fiancé?
Yes. She was going to leave him in the hotel and meet Eric somewhere.
Mohammed buried his face in his hands.
I know it's my fault. I should never have allowed it. I knew it was wrong, but she wanted it so much.
The tears began to fall.
I almost feel like I killed her.
Tell me, Naya said, when did you see Eric last?
About 3 weeks ago. He gave her a key and the address to his apartment in New York.
Mohammed reached into his pocket and produced a thick keyring.
This is a copy of the key. She gave it to me in case something happened.
May I borrow the key?
You're not...
I won't show this to the family. Mohammed slid it off the keyring and handed it to Nair.
Listen, you've got to believe me, he said. I've been crazy with guilt. I had the feeling that Eric might be somehow involved in her death, but I have no idea where to find him. I don't know where he lives, what company he works for.
Naya didn't want to ask the next question, but he had no choice. Do you think she was serious enough about Eric? Serious in the way that...
That she would be intimate with him?
Mohammed looked disgusted, or offended, or both.
When I took her to see Eric, she never left my sight. He never even saw her face.
Mohammed paused.
You're going to tell the family.
For now, Naya said, I'll keep your secret in my fist. But let me ask you this. Noof disappeared 3 days before her wedding. Now, if what you say is true, why would she give up her plan and run away before the wedding? She couldn't leave the country without Kathy.
Eric must have promised her away, Mohammed replied. He had connections at the docks. He even had his own boat. He could have smuggled her out.
Did she say that might happen?
No.
Mohammed fell into a thoughtful silence. He shut his eyes.
I always figured that if she were leaving for good, she would have said goodbye.
Kathi Ashrawi laid the clipboard on the desk and came to the window to stand closer to Nair. He had a quiet voice, and the sounds from the warehouse below were causing him to speak louder than was comfortable. They were in Kathi's office at his father's shoe warehouse. It was a glass-panelled room looking out over row after row of inventory boxes, some stacked so high that only a crane could reach them. Kathi was almost as tall as Nair, but half as wide. He wore a clean white robe and an immaculately pressed headscarf. When he walked, Nair noticed a pair of battered sneakers peeking out from the bottom of his robe. Odd, considering that his father ran the biggest shoe import business in Jeddah, which Kathi, the oldest son, was set to inherit one day. Yet the shoes looked comfortable and suggested that, despite his elegance and refinement, Kathi was a hard worker.
I only saw her once in person, he said. And everyone was there. My uncle, my cousins, my father. There were servants in the room. She wasn't allowed to lift her burqa, so I didn't see her face.
Did you talk to her?
I asked her if she was excited about the wedding, and she said yes. That was it.
So you had no idea what she looked like? Naya asked.
Well, I saw a picture. Othman showed it to me.
Look, Naya said. The family didn't ask me to come here. I just wanted to talk to you. You're the only link I have to understanding her. I won't say anything. You have my word. All right, Cathy said softly. I called her once or twice. She sounded sweet. She asked me if I liked dogs, and I said yes. And she wanted to know if I'd take her to New York for the honeymoon. She made me promise. He gave a soft laugh. At first I was worried about it, because she seemed so excited. But she said that she'd always dreamed of going to New York, and that she wanted me to be there when she finally made it. Nayer hoped that his face didn't reveal his woe. It was getting to be too much. This tall, careful, considerate man heading off to New York with no idea at all that his new wife was about to abandon him. It seemed impossible that he could have killed her. Even if he suspected he was being used, it didn't seem like a strong enough motive for Cathy. What else did you talk about? Nayer asked. Mostly New York. She kept asking me if it was all right if she left her face uncovered and only wore her scarf. And what did you say? I said it was okay. I wanted her to be able to see New York. He pressed his hands to his mouth. Nayer gave him some time before plunging into his next question. When did you find out about her behavior? Cathy's hands seemed to grow unsteady, and he drew them onto his lap. My father told me at the funeral. I see. That's late. You didn't have any idea before then? Cathy frowned. No, of course not. Can you tell me where you were on the morning that she disappeared? Well, I was... Actually, I was at their house. I had to drop off another part of the trousseau. Glancing nervously at Nayer, he added, I was only there for 15 minutes. Othman can vouch for me. Nayer felt bad for pressing. You have to admit, you stood to lose the most from her indiscretions. If anyone found out about her behavior, they could have told you. But why would they? To stop the wedding. Cathy shook his head sadly. And my answer to the problem would have been to kidnap her. That's crazy. He looked straight into Nayer's eyes. If I'd wanted to stop the wedding, I would have called off the wedding. It would have been that easy. He was right. It would have been easy. And if anyone had asked why, he could have come up with a dozen excuses. No one would have blamed a 19-year-old boy for his hesitation. If Noof's fiancé had kidnapped her, he would have had to be a much more arrogant, prideful man, someone for whom her indiscretion would have been deeply insulting. Cathy just didn't seem like that man.